This is tape number 4 of a 12-take series, the topic of which is humidity. The message sermon was given by Pastor Grace Chang, originally done in Mandarin Chinese. In this tape, Pastor Chang's message will be preceded by a testimony given by Rosa. Here is the testimony. Last Thursday night, Pastor's message just left me with some deep impression, particularly three things she talked about. Number one is, she said, we need to obey the environment God has measured for you and I, which is the word measure. Number two, we need to obey, we need to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Number three, we need to thank God and praise Him all the time. When she just emphasized, repeated a few times on these three points, that really just brought a smile to my face, because for these past few days, I really have a very stressful situation in my office. And our line of job is around the clock. It works in three shifts. And I'm in charge of quite a few people. And about 3 years ago, there are two managers above me. The first manager just worked in my area for about only a year, and he had a difficult time with his superior, stuff like that. Then later on, he left. Then number two, my boss just invited this guy, just hired this guy from Canada, and he's a Christian. He's a real, real nice gentleman, Christian. But the boss is not satisfied with his performance with the job, so he was let go. And after that, I was looking forward to have these openings filled. But for some reason, my boss didn't hire anybody. And it really worried me. Not only that, it also added my workload to tremendously. So I really have to take care of a lot of things, from the janitors cleaning these work areas and to log all the overtime for the workers, and even some financial things I need to be involved in also. And just imagine my background. I was just a school teacher teaching Chinese language. So just a while back, in the past January and February, like usual, the business was very slow and lacking. And it really worries me. I need to let go some of the machine operators. That really just burdens my heart. So I prayed very earnestly before the Lord. Lord, just give us business. Give us business. So give us more work so we do not need to let people go. And you know what? In March, and the Lord answered my prayer. The workload all of a sudden increased, and we have so much work we need to put out, put into so many overtime hours, and that caused another trouble. So, I just talked to, I have a very heavy tension with my boss, and he said, Rosa, you know nothing, you know nothing. And he was in bad mood and sometimes in bad temper. So it also made my days in the work office very stressful. So I had a tension with the people around me, and the engineers gave me a hard time, and I had a bad time with my boss also, because I need to to report so many over time, and which the boss is not very happy with it. So as usual, I think the only way, the best thing for me to do is to praise the Lord, to thank the Lord. So I start to open my mouth to praise God. I say, Lord, I praise you with a smiling face. But certainly it's just something like a facade I put on my face. Actually, in my deep in my heart, I can't smile at all. Smile is the farthest thing from me at the moment. But I know the trick. I know the nature of the way how the devil works, because the devil does not know what we have in heart, but he really knows what we show on our faces. So because of that, I said, I have to keep a smiling demeanor. I said, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. Was still putting on my smiling face, even though it looks like it's just a showmanship, but I was determined to do that. I want to put on this smile. I want to open mouth and praise the Lord loudly. And another thing I want to let you guys know is it has been my nature in my office all along for these years. I was always gentle, always mild-mannered, and I never just got into temper. I never got angry because I was always very careful. I treasured the presence of the Lord. Once I flew myself into temper, I knew I would lose the presence of the Lord. So at the time, I think the easiest way for me to take at the moment is, well, just get mad at people, get mad at particularly the people under me, and I just raise my voice and raise hell, and probably that's the easiest way out, I think. That's going to quiet the people around me down, and they will be nice to me, things all like that. I'm so sure of that. But the important thought in my mind is I do not want to lose the presence of the Lord. So I still keep my gentle demeanor. So I pray, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I praise you. I give the control to your hands. So Lord gave me this idea. I said, well, you can do something. You can go ahead. Share with your coworkers your feeling, your stressful feeling, and your tension in your heart, and your burden, and what you have in your heart. You can go ahead and mildly share it with some of your coworkers. So that's what I did. I just went ahead, shared my feelings. And in a very gentle, in a very mild, and in a very low-tone manner with the co-workers, I said, I just hope you understand my pressure, hope you understand my difficulties, hope you understand what I'm going through at the moment. So also, I put a sticker on my overtime report sheet to my boss, Alice Chan. On the note, I said, I'm trying. I will be hanging there. I will not give up. So I just handed it over. I just continued on with my work for the day. And you know what? You know what? For that day, everything in the office went through so smoothly, so calmly, so peacefully. Even people came to me, they talked to me, they say, Rosa, when do you think this can be finished? Rosa, when do you think this can be handed over to so-and-so? Rosa, how do you think we should handle this? Everybody is so mild and gentle and nice to me. So I was so surprised because I let go of the control of the situation. I let God take over. So God just worked things out for me nicely. So that day, I really rushed in and out. I was still very busy. I had found that so many things were done wrong because we are short of hands, short of people. And I always was able to come at the nick of time so I can have whatever is done wrong, I had that thing fixed. That's really amazing. Praise to the Lord. I really experienced firsthand what the inner life has brought me. We practice inner life. We practice to learn to live an inner life. So we really learn something. We are really blessed by the Lord. Particularly me personally, God really taught me something. God really gave me lots of blessings. So he helped me with all this difficult situation. Everything has been smoothed out so nicely. So I really learned a lesson. We really need to submit to the environment God has measured out for us. We need to submit ourselves under God's mighty hand. We do not forget, just we always be thankful and praise the name of the Lord. Here starts the message of Pastor Chang. Well, Sister Rosa just shared with us her experience of how she experienced the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord. Yeah, she did not take the easy way out. She just got into a temple, mad at people, just shouting, yelling, and just blew up. She did not do it. She just humbled herself before the Lord. Let go of the control of the situation. Let God take over the control. So God will work mysteriously and miraculously in his own way. That's why God put you and I on this earth for a purpose. Tomorrow is going to be Friday, Good Friday. And this afternoon, while I was waiting upon the Lord, Lord gave me this idea. Tomorrow is Good Friday. So today, we should take some moments to specifically ponder upon God's sacrifice, God's work, God's great accomplishment on the cross. When Jesus came into this world, He chose the first contacting point with this world, not some magnificent five-star hotel. He chose a smelly manger, which is not some place habitable by human beings. So He was determined to choose the contacting point with this world in a smelly manger. That's why the Bible said this is the symbol of the birth of the Son of God. He was wrapped in a piece of cloth and He was lying in a manger. And He was born in a family, not a dignitary's family. He was born to a carpenter. He wasn't equipped with any specific skills. He wasn't qualified for a high education, etc., etc. And He wasn't born with some kind of status. He just came into such a humble family. He just came into this world as a commoner. And He was a Nazarene. So when Bible mentioned the word Nazareth, Nazarene, it's a place, it's an unknown place. It's a tiny place. It's an unnoticed place. That's why Nathaniel said, well, what are the good things you can expect out of a place like Nazareth? In the book of Isaiah, it said, a great light was shed on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. But that's about it. Nazareth's name wasn't mentioned because it's an unknown place. It's unknown to the people in those times. So in chapter 9 of Isaiah, it said, because the place is so small, it's unnoticed by the people. It's unnoticed by the hustling, bustling world. Then we also can take a look at the life of Jesus on this earth. He was despised. He was rejected. He suffered greatly. And He was ignored by people. And we do not respect Him. That's the description laid out in the Bible. That's the life Jesus led in this world. So people even ignored Him. People just turned their back on Him. That's the kind of treatment Jesus received on this world. One time when Pastor Haid was visited by another pastor, and the whole night when the pastor slept in the bed, he found out Pastor Haid never just came home. So early next morning, Pastor Haid came back. When he came, as soon as he stepped inside the room, he knelt down beside his bed again. And he never stood up, not even once, until it was dusk of that day. That's another full day again. He knelt beside his... But this pastor, he went on with his normal business. When he came back to his room, he found out to his great surprise, Pastor Haig was still kneeling before his bed. He was so surprised. So he sat silently on the side, and he was waiting over there. Then all of a sudden, he found out Pastor Haig was opening his eyes. So he just rushed over. He said, "Hey, Pastor Haig, how come you can do something like this? You knelt down before the bed for such a long time. You just prayed the whole night. Now all of a sudden, today is the end of another day, and you have knelt down so long. What did you do? What happened to you?" "You know what?" Pastor Haid replied. "Jesus revealed Himself to me. He just opened my eyes. He showed me what He suffered for me, what He went through for this whole world. He just revealed Himself, His very deity, His very presence inside my heart. He revealed to me how holy a God He is, in the glory He is in. And He just left all this behind. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh." Can you imagine the life Jesus had on this earth? The Word became flesh. He entered this filthy world, the world full of crimes, sins, and all evil things, and the filthiness, and all the falsehood, all the cheating, and all the jealousy, all that. And he just mingled himself with this filthy world. He entered into this world. So once in a while, he need to depart from all this. He need to leave this behind. He can just breathe some fresh air in heaven, fresh air in his original holy place. It's not difficult for you and I, imagine if you and I, we came from a very clean environment, how can you just handle yourself when you enter into a very filthy environment, filthy place? That's what Jesus did. He came, he entered into this sinful world, this filthy world, this dirty world, this evil world. Not only word became flesh, Jesus came here, take on the shape of a slave and a servant. He became a slave. He became a servant to people around him. And even to the last moment of his life, the very last night, he washed the feet of his disciples, including Judas of Iscariot. That's the job Jesus did on this earth. That's the job, that's kind of work Jesus took on himself to accomplish the will of God. You know what? Jesus came into this world to become not only a slave and servant, he also became for us a stray dog. Remember in the Bible, Jesus once told a woman of Canaan, said, "Do not give the food of your children to a dog." So Jesus really, really loved us. From what Jesus told the woman of Canaan, we can tell dog is despised. Dog is looked down upon. Dog is some animal people don't like. Dog is some animal people discarded. So the woman of Canaan, it's just like the dogs in the eyes of the Hebrew. And we too, we Gentiles, we are like a dog in the eyes of the Hebrew. But Jesus just blessed. Jesus granted us this privilege. We can be the children of God. Then he take our place. He became a stray dog for you and I. That's why Bible said Jesus is not shameful to proclaim us to be his brothers. And he is our elder brother. That's why he took the shape of a slave and a servant. He became a stray dog to be in place for you and me, so you and I can be children of God. Well, when we talk about dog, we are not talking about dog in the U.S. Dogs in the U.S., they are pets of the families. They are so well treated. We are talking about the dogs in the ancient Orient. In those days, dogs are despised, dogs are neglected, dogs are homeless, dogs are kicked around in the street. And this is the kind of image, this is the kind of status Jesus, out of his free will, he took on himself. He took on himself as a role of a stray dog. If you look carefully, it's true, the life of Jesus on this earth was exactly like a stray dog. So all this picture, all this message, all these scenes are revealed, are shown, are manifested before Pastor Haig. So in Haig's service, in his life, he spent so much time on his knees praying. Sometimes he will pray for 24 hours, even 48 hours straight. So a lot of his co-workers and other missionaries, they think he did too much. He is over himself. He is out of himself. And he said, what he is doing is way too much. What is he is doing may not necessarily mean the will of our God, may not necessarily mean the best way to serve the Lord. Why does he need to do that? So because people express that among themselves, some people shared that kind of feeling and that kind of reaction to Pastor Haig said, well, people don't think you are doing right. They are not honoring what you are doing. And Pastor Haig, how do you respond to that? People think you are praying too much. You should be spending less time doing that, maybe more time in the service of the Lord. And you know what? Pastor Haig replied with a radiant smile. He said, well, these people, they did not understand me. They don't understand me. They have not seen what I saw when Jesus revealed himself to me. And they are not saying that against me because they are antagonistic. It's simply they do not understand me. So tonight is the night before the Good Friday. Tonight it's really one of the best times we can contemplate on Lord's suffering for you and I. So what is God's will for you and I? What you and I can do to respond to the love of the Lord? I remember in my days when I was in college, I admire those people. They are so self-confident. They always walk around, carry this air of a little bit of arrogance with them. I admire these people. But later on, years later, when I learned the lesson of humility before the Lord, I no longer admire these people. I no longer admire the people with these qualities manifesting or shown. Oftentimes, our brain, we are so brainwashed by the tendency of this world, by the fad of this world. And we just admire these people. We say, well, these people are cool. And we admire them. We admire the air they carry with them. You know what? We are wrong. We are deadly wrong. That's not what Jesus' qualities are. When I started my service when I was 26 years old, I started with a Xinzhu, and so we had a very good family, big family. I just brought so many college students to the Lord. We had a very good relationship within our church. I always thought these brothers and sisters, they are the loveliest of the people on this world. I really like them. I really love them. I really have heart to serve them. Later on, I have opportunities, and I went to the remote parts of the countryside. And these are areas, unreached area, unstepped on areas. When I had a contact with these local, almost tribal people, and these people, they really taught me a good lesson. These people are very different from the people I'm familiar with. These people, they are so humble. They are so simple. They are so pure. These people, just by nature, by the way they were brought up, by the environment they were growing up, and humility for them is not something forced. It's not something they put on as a facade. This is just something simply, it's a very part of their nature, of their character, of their personality and their qualities. And I was so touched, so moved by these people. I was so amazed. I was surrounded by the humility. Oh, it's so natural. So more than a few times, I went to the top of these mountains. I wanted the hilly areas to serve these unreached areas. And I really, really loved it. These people really opened my eyes. It reminded me of Yang Bigui, Sister Yang Bigui. And she more or less experienced the same thing. And she went to those very remote areas, these tribal areas, these unreached areas. He preached the gospel to these people in the Yunnan province. All these are minority peoples. They never had any contact with outside the developed world, outside the civilization. The life over there is very simple, even primitive. The life is so deficient of modern commodities. But she really loved them. She really enjoyed so much the lives with them, the relationship with them, the contact with them, the friendship with these tribal people. So later when she had a chance, she went back to her own home. But she just missed these people so much. Her own life in her back at her home is way different. It's compared to the to tribal lives. Her life back at home is so luxurious. But she missed her life with these tribal people. She missed life in the primitive areas. All these are so backward. Everything, it's untreaded areas. Why? You know why? because she experienced the same thing I did. Because she experienced this innate humility, this born humility, this purified life, the purified environment. Because you live among people with this kind of innate humility, and there was no choice. Simply, it's contagious. It's so infectious. You become more and more humble yourself without realizing. Subconsciously, naturally, you become humble yourself. So my experience reminded me of the story of this sister. I remember that I read this book many, many years ago, but all of a sudden, all the memories came back. So I shared my feeling. I shared my reaction to my college-educated Christian young people. I find it's so different. I find that these two groups of people are so different. I always thought the college-educated young Christians are so lovely, so adorable. But once when I had a contact, once when I experienced a relationship in life with those remote area, those minority Christians, I find it's such a big old eye-opener. I find when I come back, I find they are no longer as lovely as they used to be. Because I experienced something which is finer, which is purer, which is much, much more wonderful. Not until after that, I realized in every and each, every one of us, we have this air of arrogance. We have this quality. We have this character of self-conceitedness. I remember that I was preaching the gospel to these tribal people. I said, the Bible said that that's what Jesus said. Jesus, by the end of his life, he washed the feet of his disciples, and he instituted the Holy Communion. He did all that. I taught them. I also taught my young Christians of this. But remember, despite Jesus was teaching all this, what did disciples were thinking? What were they were discussing? Remember, they were discussing who will be occupying a higher position in the kingdom of heaven, in the kingdom of Jesus. That's what they were thinking. Isn't that ridiculous? This is simply our human nature. Because our sinful nature, that's what we are looking, that's what we are pursuing, that's what we are after. So, but judging by the life of Jesus, probably all the disciples were wondering, are we really following the Savior of this world? Are we really following the Son of God? Because everything we can see, everything he did, from whatever we can see, we can tell, we can feel, we can experience, he is a complete failure. This rabbi, Jesus, is a failure in our eyes. Jesus is King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But look at his birth. The birth, his birth is a failure. His birth is in a place which is not designed for a human being. Once after his birth, you know what happened? His life was chased. He was run all the time because he was supposed to be caught and put to death, to be slaughtered, to be killed, to be crushed, to be annihilated. This life is going to be snuffed out. So you can see, Jesus' birth is an indication of defeat. Jesus' death is another indication of defeat. He was nailed on the cross. He was lifted up among the sinners. That's what described by the Bible. He was lifted up among the sinners. Not only that, his followers, the people closest to him, they were all dispersed. They all fled from him. So from the moment that he was born into this world, to the very last breath he took on the cross, the whole process is a complete defeat and a complete failure. But you know what? All this seemingly defeat, all this seemingly failure brought us one thing, which is the greatest, the grandest victory ever occurred in this world. He brought us salvation. He brought us heavenly humility, which is a quality Jesus is going to work it out. Jesus is going to establish. Jesus is going to develop. Jesus is going to mold that into shape in you and me. This is the kind of life. This is the quality of the heavenly life Jesus desires to give you and me, to put inside you and me. That's why the last word Jesus ever uttered on the cross, it is finished. It is completed. So the toughest thing to be wiped out, to be taken away, is the pride in our hearts. But that Jesus accomplished by his death on the cross. He has brought down this heavenly humility, and this is the quality no longer inaccessible for our human beings. Jesus is going to put this quality inside you and me. He is going to build this quality into you and me. That's why today when we sing a few hymns, the words are saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." See, this Lamb of God is the emblem of Kingdom of Heaven. Okay, this emblem is an indicator, is a signature, is a trademark of Kingdom of Heaven. Then when we're talking about lamb is an animal without defensive skills, without skills to attack, without skills to defend even himself. Lamb is an animal which is noiseless. A lamb is an animal just very gentle, very meek. And this is the picture of Jesus. Jesus, out of his own free will, he is determined, he is willing to give his life for you and I. So that's what, remember when elderly John, disciple, in the book of Revelation, he was crying because he is so anxious. He doesn't know who is worthy to open the seven seals. He is so frustrated. He was crying out loud to the heavens, to the broad, wide heavens. Then just there is this one who is worthy. He who is more than worthy to open the seven seals. And you and I know who he is. He is our Lord Jesus Christ. Today's world is full of lectures and books and theories on the issue of how to be successful. The world's concept of success, to have high positions, to have a lot of riches, to be blessed with material possessions, all of that. But the concept of success in heaven is to give up your very own life. Out of your free will, to submit your own life to a higher calling. That's the biggest success. That's the grandest success in the heaven. So Jesus is the only one. God chose him. But look at what he accomplished in this world. From what we can see, is he is a complete failure. It's a miserable defeat. So what are you seeking? What kind of success are you after? So what are you looking for? What are you working hard for? What are you searching? What are you seeking? So you want to be distinguished? You want a high position? You want wealth? Is that what you are looking for? Or just instead, you are willing to sacrifice your life. You are willing to give your very own life into the hands of the Lord. Let him take over the control. You are willing to submit. You are willing to obey this higher calling. Remember Sister Rosa just shared with us? Once she just let God take control, let Jesus take over the control, she experienced this peace. She experienced this serenity. She experienced this complete peace and joy in the Lord. So if you are willing to dedicate your life to the Lord, to devote your life to the Lord, you will be a great success. Brother Watchman Nee, when he was young, he and six other brothers, they were a group. They were being guided and taught by Sister He. And Sister He is a missionary. And there was one brother who is 5 years older than Brother Nee. And oftentimes his opinions and his ideas are different from Brother Nee's. And oftentimes they got into a fight, they got into a heated argument, things like that. So one time, just Brother Nee went to Sister He, said, complaining, okay, how come this brother doing this and saying that, and you know what? And Sister He just replied, the important issue here is not who is right or who is wrong. The issue here is that you are the younger one. You need to submit to the older one. That's the teaching of the Bible. So she just sent him away. But still, Brother Nee wasn't convinced. He just held his disgrace in his hand. He said, well, I still think I'm correct, and he is wrong. And he just held this grudge in his heart. And he was even thinking, well, only if I could be born 5 years earlier, or even 10 years earlier, so I can be 5 years older than he is. Things like that. Then later on, one time, Brother Nee noticed that older brother is having another argument with another brother, but that brother is older than this brother now. So this time he was so happy, he was so glad, he said, now it's my time. So he rushed to Sister He and complained one more time, and he just kind of reported to her what happened and what he witnessed was happening. And he was expecting Sister He would say, no, you are right, and that brother is wrong, he should be doing the same thing. No, that's not what Sister He replied. Sister He replied, what he did, what he was doing, he was arguing with the other brother, that's their business, it's none of yours. But I want to bring you to attention to one point though. What you are complaining, you are reporting him to me of this and that, don't you think this is what the Lamb of God will be doing? Don't you think is this kind of quality, this is the kind of attitude the Lamb of God will have and should have? She sent him away again. And this really taught Brother Nee a lesson which was effective for his whole life. He really learned his lesson. He need to be humble himself before the Lord every day, every moment of his life. Because we are all offsprings of Adam. You know, the main character, the main inheritance from birth we just got from Adam, you know what that is? That's the thing. That's the spirit of knowledge. We always want to, we are just sort of like consumed ourselves by the issue of right or wrong. We want to be analytical. We want to be critical. We want to be reasoning with people all the time. We always want to be proved. We are right, I'm right, and that person, the opposite of society is wrong. We just want to be judged. We do not like to be judged, but it's just simply our nature. We want to be judged of. And you know, the people in the Bible, the Pharisees and scribes, they are really the offsprings of Adam. They are really good at telling which is right and which is wrong. But the thing they needed most, they lack, is a heart of love and a heart of mercy. All they can be is good judges and good critiques. The Son of Man came into our world. It's his desire to free us from this spirit of pride. So we do not want to be judges. We shall not be judges. Jesus showed himself. The main quality, the main character Jesus revealed and manifested himself before the world is mercy, is kindness, is love, is forgiveness. So Jesus came. It's his desire to free us from the bondage of this pride, of this self-conceitedness. Let's look at the Bible. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21, verse 5. Say to the daughters of Zion, see, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. See, it says, your king comes to you gentle. Here is a gentle king. So that's why the Bible says he is gentle and riding on a donkey, on a mule. I remember I read somewhere about the donkeys and mules in Mexico. In Mexico, and donkey is used widely for transportation, for transporting people and goods also. But by nature, donkeys and mules, they're very stubborn. They are stubborn animals. Once they wanted to go somewhere and you wanted them to go somewhere else, they were just rebel. They were objected. They were opposed. They were not obey your command. And they show their stubbornness by staying on the spot. They refuse to move. They just simply refuse to move anymore. No matter how hard you try to push, you try to kick, you try to coax, they just simply stayed in put and refused to move. And even people, what people can try is they just light just a fire, a small fire underneath his belly. And all he did is step aside one or two steps. That's all he did. But he still stayed his ground, refused to move, refused to budge. You know what? We Christians are like these donkeys. We are so stubborn, we do not want to. I hate to apologize. I refuse to apologize. Well, in the service, when everybody is singing, well, I'm not in the mood to sing. I refuse to sing. When everybody's standing up and even dancing to the music, since I'm not in the mood, I refuse to stand up. I refuse to join the party. I refuse to do that. I refuse to follow the crowd. But look at this. He says, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey. I remember there was such a song, the word said, even though I'm just a poor donkey, but Jesus is determined to use me. So I have a lot of value in the eyes of Jesus because he is willing to use me. Yes, actually, that exactly describes you and I. You and I are just like a small donkey, small mule. We do not have a lot of value in eyes of people. And we're just a small animal. We are just very common animal. And we are not beautiful looking, all that. But if Jesus is willing to use you and me, the thing you and I need to do, remember though, is to be obedient, is to be submissive, is to be obedient. So brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. Do not be stubborn like a donkey, but we need to be a humble donkey. We need to be a submissive mule. So that's the quality. That's the quality Jesus is trying to teach us. That's the quality Bible tried to reveal us, to try to show us its humility. Let's look at another passage, which is 1 Peter. And chapter 5, verses 5 through 6. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Here it says, important thing is, we need to be humble. We need to serve each other. We need to clothe ourselves with humility toward one another. So if we can really clothe ourselves with humility, then it will not be difficult for us to be submissive. It will not be difficult for us to be obedient to authorities, to higher callings. But be careful. When we read the Bible, we need to, based on our age, we need to know, we need to have this wisdom to know which passage to read on. Okay? So if we are young men, let's say, then we need to read this. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Okay? So that's very important. On the other hand, if you are the older one, or you are one of the older people, it should not be the verse you should be reading, which is, young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. Then you will say, hey, you are a young man, you should be submissive to me. No, this is not the verse for you to read. So we pray God will help us, so give us the wisdom to tell which verse is the verse we should be not only reading, we should be applying in our daily lives. Here the Bible teaches, you and I need to humble ourselves. So humility goes hand in hand with love and kindness. Also, humility does not mean lack of self-respect. Normally, a person who lacks the self-respect is the person who has a lot of pride, who is proud, and this pride will be shown in a lot of different things and different aspects of his life. Let's read another passage of the Bible, which is in the Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And this is a passage which I read this morning in my devotional time. Verses 16 through 21. Then the Lord appeared at the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the cloud stood over the entrance to the tent. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are going to rest with your fathers, and these people will soon prostitute themselves to the foreign gods of the land that they are entering. They will forsake me and break the covenant I made with them. On that day I will become angry with them and forsake them. I will hide my face from them, and they will be destroyed. Many disasters and difficulties will come upon them. And on that day they will ask, 'How have those disasters come upon us because our God is not with us?' And I will certainly hide my face on that day because of all their wickedness in turning to other gods. Now write down for yourselves this song and teach it to the Israelites and have them sing it, so that it may be a witness for me against them. When I have brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land I promised on oath to their forefathers, and when they eat, they'll fill and thrive, they will turn to other gods and worship them, rejecting me and break my covenant. And when many disasters and difficulties come upon them, this song will testify against them, because it will not be forgotten by their descendants. I know what they are disposed to do, even before I bring them into the land I promised them on oath." And also verses 27 through 29, For I know how rebellious and stiff-necked you are. If you have been rebellious against the Lord while I am still alive and with you, how much more will you rebel after I die? Assemble before me all the elders of your tribes and all your officials, so that I can speak these words in their hearing and call heaven and earth to testify against them. For I know that after my death you are sure to become utterly corrupt and to turn from the way I have commanded you. In days to come, disasters will fall upon you because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord and provoke him to anger by what your hands have done." And these are the words Moses just forecast against the Hebrew people before they are about to enter the land of Canaan. So God used Moses to prophesy against the Hebrews. That's what's going to happen to them and what they will be doing to themselves. So here it says, when they entered into the land of Canaan, they are disposed to worship idols, and disasters will fall upon them. So that's why God used Moses to warn them, to warn the Hebrew people, to warn the vast group. You guys, be watchful, be on your guard, be careful. When you enter this land of Canaan that God promised you, just behave yourself. Remember what I say today against you, sort of like a forecasting what's going to happen to you, what you guys will become, and what you guys will be doing, and what you will be sinning against the Lord. This really is a warning to me personally. It made me think, if you and I, we are not willing to accept God's work in us, to build his humility, to build his submission in you and me, and you and I will be guaranteed to be rebellious, guaranteed to sin against the law, to go the route which is not the one the Lord has planned for you and I. If you and I are not determined to choose to obey the Lord, we will have great disasters and difficulties coming our way. So be watchful. Be on our guard. Brothers and sisters, we really need to be careful. We really need to put these words into our heart. Because if we do not rid ourselves of the pride with the help of our Lord, we will face a lot of difficulties. We will face a lot of disasters. And a while back, we just went through 12 sessions of submission. That's very important. That's very critical. That's one of the main messages which is told in the Bible. You and I really need to learn a good lesson. You really need to be very careful in putting these messages into the practice in our daily lives. We need to follow very closely to our God. When we were talking about the issue of submission, remember I talked about there are a certain order of things we need to submit ourselves to, including peoples in different rankings and orders. We need to submit ourselves to them. I remember this sister shared her personal experience with me. And one morning, her husband, before he left for work, he just said, well, could you just go ahead and just return these cassettes for me and borrow some new ones for me? And she just retorted back and she grumbled. She said, well, you can do yourself. I also have my own job. I need to go to work also. And you, this is such a simple, small thing you can do yourself. Then the husband said, well, I saw you spend so much time chauffeuring people around, giving people rides all that. It's such a simple thing. Just please do that for me. And later on, the sister just came to the church for a service and for a particular gathering. And during the gathering, and the message was centered around about you not only listen to the messages, you need to just act the message in your lives. And she said, well, okay, I'm willing to do that. I'm going to return my husband's cassette tapes and borrow new ones for him. So that's what she did. So she just left the place on her way back while she was driving the car. All of a sudden, she found this joy, unspeakable joy, sprang up in her. And she was so surprised. She was so amazed. She was so taken aback. What's happening? Why I experienced this unspeakable joy? And it is amazing. Lord, I thank you so much. The only thing I did is just obeyed my husband. I just submit myself to his request. And now I'm experiencing this great joy. So finally, she just arrived home. And she sat down to memorize a few Bible verses while she told her son to go to the piano to practice. And she was surprised once more while she was memorizing the Bible verses. And she was so surprised to find out her son, for the first time, he was playing on the piano very conscientiously, very just carefully. And he was playing in such a concentrated manner. He was doing all his with all his heart. He just put his heart into his playing. It was so different. It was so strange. It was so indescribable. So it was simply beyond words. So the sister find it so outstanding, and it is so overwhelming. And all of a sudden she realized the only thing she did is she obeyed her husband. That all this, the Lord just brought other submissiveness, other obeying into her lives. So if you and I are really willing to be careful, are really to be watchful, to try to obey, try to submit to the orders, to the superiors, to the people we are supposed to submit ourselves to, then you and I will really be benefited. You and I will really learn great lessons from it. You and I will really be greatly blessed by the Lord. Oftentimes, the people closest to us, we find it, believe it or not, these are the people we find it most difficult to submit ourselves to or obey to. And for example, in our churches, when the usher tell you, okay, could you please move forward? And well, it's not in your nature. You want to sit in front of you. Well, you just sit down. You refuse to move. So it's an instance you disobeyed. Okay, so when usher tells you, if instead the usher says, well, just move forward, please. Then you just move to the front. Then this is a small act of submission. Will really bring down the blessings from the Lord. Believe it or not, try me. You can try me. I challenge you. Yes, this person is just an usher. But this is a person. At this time, you are supposed to obey him. This is the time you are supposed to make yourself submissive to him. So brothers and sisters, I just challenge you. Just be careful, be watchful, be on your guard. Look for opportunities and times you can learn these lessons, and you can make a determination to submit yourself to authorities, no matter big or small. Well, I'm using this example. I'm not just finger pointing to one particular person or persons. because normally I sit in the first row with my back turning to you. I don't even know. I have never seen who this person ever sort of like pushed by the ushers to the front, all that. I just want to use this an example as an instance how we can utilize such a small act to learn the lesson of submission. So humility is hand in hand with submission. If you are humble, then it's easy for you to submit. And if you are submitting to authorities, which means you will become more and more humble. These two just go hand in hand. We need to make a will, make a determination to submit ourselves to the authorities. This is the only way you and I can accept the inheritance of heaven, which God has prepared for us, which Jesus desires to give to us. And you can be humble, you can submit yourself for a long, long time, but just only a few instances, a few times you break away from this, you rebelled, you just disobeyed again, then you just strip yourself the opportunity to receive the inheritance of heaven. I personally am always on guard of this. No matter who talks to me, no matter who tells me what, I'm always very careful. I'm always very attentive in listening. Keep these words. Then I will bring whatever people tells to me, or whatever people just complain about me or to me, I will bring these to the Lord. Let God shed light to me what I should do, what I should respond, or how I should work within myself. Things along that line. That's very important, brothers and sisters. So it also reminded me once again, for Brother Ni, when first time he complained to Sister He just guided him, advised him, but he did not obey. He still had this grudge, had this grumble within him. Then later on, the more severe guidance, the severe teaching and instructions, the heavier teachings finally just did a wonder, did a job in him. He realized he is the one who needs the lesson most. He is the one who is given the opportunity to learn the lesson, to humble himself, to be submissive to other people, to elders, to authorities. Because Bible never said, for young men, you need to obey those elderly who are worthy of your respect. Bible doesn't say that. So we have myriads of testimonies and witnesses which can testify to the fact one simple act of humility, one simple act of submission will bring tons of blessings from the Lord. There was another sister who has a very loving husband. The husband simply adores the wife. The husband almost always submits himself to the wife. But after the wife learned the message of humility and submission to authority, to husband, to higher calling in the church, she went back home and she told her husband, she said, from now on, I'm going to submit myself to you. Which is a shock to her husband. Husband said, well, don't do that. Why are you doing that? She said, because this is the message I learned in the church. And this is the message taught by the Bible. So I'm going to, from today on, I'm going to submit it to your authority, to your control, to your command and leadership. So the husband responded, well, what we have been doing is all fine. Why? I think I want to continue to submit to you instead of the other way around. The wife said, no, we have to change because this is a teaching of the Bible. From today on, I'm going to submit myself to you instead of the other way around. So let's look at one more passage of the Bible, which is Isaiah 57. Isaiah 57, verses 14 and 15. And it will be said, build up. Build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. For this is what the high and the lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. This is a God. Here it talks about a God is in the high place, in the lofty place. So he said, I live in a high and holy place, but I'm willing, I want to, it's my desire to live with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit. I want to live with them. I want to live with them. Why? There's a purpose to live with them, so I can revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. So here, our God is King of kings and Lord of lords. He is in a high and lofty and holy place, and he is willing, it's his desire to come down. He come down to into our lives, to live with us, provided you and I are contrite. We are lowly in spirit. And remember, before it says, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people. Hey, let me ask you, what are the obstacles? Who are the obstacles? The obstacles is our pride. The obstacles is our self-conceitedness. The obstacles is our strong will. So oftentimes we heard people, well, how come so many people experience the presence of love? How come I don't? What is wrong with me? You know what? You need to go into yourself, go into your inner being, go into the deepest part of your heart to search, to examine. Do you still have this spirit of pride, this spirit of self-conceitedness? And how do you express? How do you communicate with people? How do you socialize with people? How do you converse with people? Do you still show air of arrogance? Do you still carry this air of self-conceitedness? Or do you sound arrogant? Do you sound proud? All that. If you have this spirit of pride, then this is the obstacle. These obstacles need to be removed so the Holy God can come into your heart, and you will have a heart of contrite. You will have a spirit which is low. Then God can revive you. So we really need to be on guard. We really need to be careful. We need to search our hearts and examine our hearts very carefully all the time. Before I close, let's read Micah's chapter 6, verse 8. Micah 6, 8. He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to work humbly with your God. Here God tells us, he says, O man, people of the world, so I have shown you what is good. Here the next verse says, what does the Lord require of you? Yes, God is looking for something. God is expecting something out of you and me. Then what is that? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. So only when a person is humble, a person will love mercy, a person will have mercy in his heart, a person with humility will act justly. So, you know, the spirit of pride really fosters a lot of other sins. So we really need to be very, very careful. These days, these few weeks, we have been concentrating on a topic of humility. This is the quality you and I desperately need. We need to do everything to get it. We need to pay all the prices, whatever prices we can afford. We need to get it. And we need to give God a chance to work in you and me. So he is waiting for you and I. Open our hearts. Humble ourselves. When we realize we are hopeless, we are helpless, we will open our hearts. We will quiet down. We will humble ourselves before the Lord. We will give the time and opportunity for the Lord, for him to come into our heart, to work, to develop, and to grow this spirit of humility. May God bless us all.